Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. Come on in. Come on in. We're going to give everybody a second to jump in. Tonight is going to be an amazing night. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to do what he wants to do. Oh, I got to turn this on. Check. One, two, check. Okay. Hopefully the mic's working. All right. Sorry about that, guys. My mic decided to stop working last minute. But tonight's going to be amazing. Believing for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hello, everybody. We're on episode 188 of our Monday night teachings. Episode 188. I know that's crazy. It's been, what, 5 years now? And we're still going strong. Thank you, Lord. We're still going strong. We have a lot more to say, a lot more to do, a lot more to teach. And ultimately, we want to equip you guys to do what you've been called to do. Someone said five Pentecostal minutes. Amen. Yeah, it's just 5 minutes. We have no intro, so we got to get people time to get in all that. But we're going to do some teaching tonight, and we want to equip you guys to do what God has called you to do. Tomorrow night, we have a very powerful podcast at 6 o'clock. We have Richard Matthews on. He has an incredible testimony that you don't want to miss of God bringing him out of the LGBT, I don't even know how many letters there are now, community, God saving him, God delivering him. And so he has a powerful story he's going to share there. And then September 13th and 14th, I'll be at the Gathering Place in Birmingham, Alabama. I'll give you the info after. And it's all on my website now, isaiahsaldivar.com/schedule. Hold on. I just realized, well, my chair's in the background. See, we're in a hurry. It's all good. You can check that out. And then September 15th, I'll be in Dawsonville, Georgia at Christ Fellowship Church, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. It's on the website. I'll announce more after. And then we have our Monday prayer meetings at noon, which today was amazing. We had like 120 something people on, and it's just been powerful what God is doing on those prayer meetings. And I was praying, asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to teach on? Every week I pray, asking the Lord throughout the week, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to teach? And I felt like the Lord was saying, you got to teach some spiritual warfare. Don't forget about that portion, right? Because we taught a lot about it in 2020, 2021. And then we can go months, 3-4 months without doing any deliverance training, any deliverance teaching. So I want to make sure that we are fully equipped. There's very few people talking about deliverance, how to cast out demons and training the church. And we massively need deliverance in the body of Christ. We are living in an incredibly demonized generation, an incredibly demonized culture. And the Lord wants to use you to cast out demons. That's the message I want to get across to you today. The Lord wants to use you to drive out demons. And so tonight we're going to train, equip, and do some spiritual warfare training. For some of you, it's going to be review. For others of you, it's new. And that's the thing, is I'll do one stream on, like, let's say deliverance or another topic. And then we go a year and don't do a, like, how to cast out demons or how demons get in stream. And there's a lot of new people that don't know. So we have to keep teaching. We have to keep reviewing. We have to keep going over, because there's people in your life depending on you to be the person God has called you to be. Guys, if Jesus cast out demons, it's good enough for us. If Jesus did deliverance everywhere he went, it's good enough for us. And you don't even have to turn on the news for more than 5 minutes to realize the devil is at work. The devil is moving in this generation, but I'm calling you, and I believe the devil's not the only one working. The devil's not the only one moving. The spirit of the Antichrist is not the only spirit at work in the earth today. Can I get an amen in the chat? I'm reading the chat right now. The Holy Spirit is also at work. And the Holy Spirit has given us power and authority over unclean spirits. So as we live in this world that's controlled, the Bible says the devil is the ruler of this world. And when we see all of these demonic politicians, demonic agendas we often cover on the channel, understand that they are being controlled by invisible forces. They are being controlled by persons that have no bodies that the Bible calls demonic spirits. And this is something Jesus dealt with everywhere he went. Hey, so when people are like, oh, you're weird for casting out demons, you're weird for not casting out demons. That's all I'm saying. If you are a Christian, means a little Christ on the earth, 2 Corinthians 5, an ambassador of Christ, and you think we're weird for doing what Jesus did, you're weird for calling yourself a follower, an ambassador, and a representative of Christ, and you don't do what he does. It's so simple. People are like, my pastor, doesn't matter. If Jesus did it, I don't need approval or permission or your pastor to tell me what I can or cannot do. I need the Bible to tell me what I can and cannot do. It's super plain. It's very vanilla. Jesus cast out demons. The disciples, and I feel like a broken record, but I'm going to keep saying it. The disciples cast out demons, and now we are called as his disciples. If you're, now, here's the thing. If you're not a disciple, that's fine. If you just want to be a Sunday morning pew warmer, going through the motions, that's fine. You can just kind of survive and skate by. But if you are a disciple, that means a follower, not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. So I follow and actually do what Jesus tells me to do. Then you have to understand I'm responsible to seeing the people around me set free. And when Jesus was in the city, they knew Jesus is here. Bring the sick to him. Bring the demonized to him. Bring the lost to him. And he had power through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he was anointed of God by the Holy Spirit and walked in power, walked in authority. So now that I have that same, what is it, guys? Type in the chat, same spirit. It's very simple. I'm responsible for the people around me. And God has conferred, he didn't have to. And if he didn't do this, we wouldn't be telling you to cast out demons. He's conferred his authority upon us. So now you have authority over demonic spirits. The things that are controlling the world we live in, that are causing the mass perversion and things I can't even talk about on the stream, those things are evil, are demonic, are insidious, are dark, and you have the light of God in you. Don't cover the light. The light shines and expels darkness. We have that spirit that could command things to leave. You could literally have a family or friend have a voice telling them to take their life for years, and you can enter into their life and say, I command that spirit to leave you in Jesus' name. And because of the authority that Jesus has given you, that spirit will leave them and they'll no longer have those voices or those thoughts. Doesn't that amaze you? Doesn't that amaze you that Christ has given us his authority when he didn't have to? Has given us his power when we didn't have to? So why sit idly by? Why sit idly by? Why? Because people think you're weird? Because your pastor doesn't like it? Because the church down the road doesn't like it? Why sit idly by? There's too much at stake for me to not be involved in the move of the Spirit. And the move of the Spirit, Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, surely you know the kingdom of God has come upon you. People will, listen to what I'm going to say here, okay? People will call you crazy because they call Jesus crazy. People will say you're of the devil because they said Jesus was of the devil when he cast out demons. People will talk bad about you. I'm just going to warn you before I even go into the teaching and answer questions. And we do have it on slow-mo tonight in case we get to some live Q&A. I got a lot of questions prepared, so who knows? I could do another stream of live deliverance Q&A, but we'll see what happens here. I got a lot prepared here, but I'm warning you, this is what will happen. So don't be shocked when people call you crazy. I'm not shocked when I see on TikTok videos about me, Instagram, YouTube. It's oh man, I'm so surprised they made a video about me. They're calling me a heretic because I believe in deliverance. I'm not shocked at all. They did the same thing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So they're going to do it to us. They hated him. They're going to hate us. But you have to realize, I would rather fear God than fear man. And I want to be delivered from the opinions of other people. I think for a long time, I wanted to try to like be cool and fit in with all the other pastors. And you know what I realized? Jesus didn't fit in with the religious world. I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to stand out because I'm preaching things that a lot of people are afraid to talk about, but it's all throughout the New Testament. And as a New Testament, New Covenant believer, we have to talk about this. We have to preach on this. We have to walk in this. So we're not threatened. Is it sound normal than lower than usual? Well, I always am peeking out, so I did lower it a tiny bit. So hopefully, let me try to fix it. Hopefully it's not too bad. But usually I'm peeking out and blowing out the speaker. So we'll try it, put a little louder there. But I'm not threatened by it. I'm not threatened by it. People saying stuff, people talking, they're going to. So going into it, I have to know and be convinced that this is what's going to happen. People are going to say crazy things about me. People are going to talk bad about me. People are going to attack me. And also, I want you to know this. When you start doing deliverance, the demons inside of people are going to use those people, your friends and family and loved ones. Those people are going to attack you as well. The people, your loved ones that never attacked you before are going to start attacking you because the demons inside of them are mad at you now. See, before the demons in them, now they're not going to know that this is happening. They're not going to be like, oh yeah, this is a demon in me. No, they're not even going to acknowledge it because demons hide. Demons don't want them to know they're there. Everyone's saying, turn it up. Turn the mic up. You guys hear me say that when I live preach all the time. Well, I'm always peaking out the volume, so I turn the gain down. So you might have to just turn me up. It's all good. I'm always super loud and peaking out anyways. So, but I know that. I know that the devil works in people. I know that the devil works in unsafe friends, unsafe family, unsafe coworkers. So I'm not going to be shocked when the devil starts working. Okay. Also, you might have an unbelieving spouse or, and the devil might start working in them. The devil might start manifesting in them once you start doing deliverance. These are all things that you're going to encounter as you start doing deliverance ministry, but you can't just say, I'm not going to do it because the cost is too high. The cost is high, but it's worth it when you see people get set free. And how about this? You're obedient to scripture. If I'm a disciple, I want to be obedient and do what the disciples did. So I have this authority now. So we'll start with question. Man, I got a lot here. When I start talking about deliverance, it's been a while. I could just go and go and go, but I want to answer questions. I want to be practical. I want to, are you guys listening to Storm? He sounds good. Thanks, bro. I want to make sure that I'm applicable to what you guys, I don't want to overcomplicate it and make it some spooky spiritual thing. It's not some spooky spiritual thing. It's just what Jesus did. We don't have to make it theatrical. It's already cessational as it is. Not cessationist, cessational as it is. Because when people manifest demons, Acts chapter 8 says, oftentimes the demons scream out of them. So we don't have to make it theatrical. We don't have to put extra sauce on it. We just do the work Jesus told us to do. We're following Jesus. He told the disciples to do it. All believers are going to do it. And the New Testament church did it. The early church did it. That's a bottom line fact. So it's good enough for us. And people need us. If you're not going to help them, who's going to? Who's going to help them? If you're not going to be the one to help pray them through, who's going to help them? Let's stop being so lazy. Let's stop being lazy. It takes a lot of work to disciple people. It takes a lot of work to do deliverance. It takes a lot of work to help people in their walk. So let's just stop being lazy and put away the excuses and just go, okay, I can do this. I can do this. So the first question I want to answer, this is a question that holds a lot of people back in their destiny. And this is why I put it as number one and holds a lot of people back from doing deliverance. And that is, can a person who has demons minister deliverance to somebody? Okay, so if somebody has demons, they don't know about it, obviously. If you know about it, you should get deliverance. But if you don't know about it, can you minister deliverance? And the answer is yes. The presence of a demon does not take away your authority in Christ. Just like the presence of a demon doesn't take away your salvation. We are not exercising, guys, in deliverance, when we're casting out demons, we are not exercising our authority. I don't know if you know this, but Isaiah Saldivar has no power. There's no power in my name. There's no authority in my name. Demons do not have to obey me. Demons do not have to listen to me. There's no power in ourselves when we're doing deliverance. We're actually exercising Christ's authority and power and the work he did on the cross, not our authority and power. So if you have a demonic spirit in you, it doesn't mean you can't go do deliverance, because here's what happens. People need deliverance, don't even know they have a spirit in them, and then they end up doing deliverances, and then they find out later they themselves need deliverance, and they get set free. But it doesn't negate the authority you have. And this is what you need to remember. It's not about you. Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not skilled enough. You're not anything. That's the thing. You're not anything. That's the point. So yeah, you're right. You're not skilled enough. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. It's not about you. It's about the work Christ has given you to do with his authority and his power. It's not about what we've done, it's about what he's done. It's about the finished work of the cross. And the same way when someone who's sick in their body, if I'm sick in body, I can still lay hands and pray for the sick. Someone who is demonized can effectively minister deliverance. So don't let it hold you back. With that being said, if you are demonized, I would highly recommend going through deliverance before you do deliverance on others, okay? If you know you need freedom, I would go get deliverance first. But I wouldn't live my life saying, like, well, I'm just not ready yet. I just have to get all these things in order and all these things in line and all these things prepared. No, you don't. You're going to do that your whole life. It's like some of you that have said that about kids. I'll have kids when I'm ready. You're never going to be ready. Just have kids. Just be fruitful and multiply. The man who finds a wife finds a good thing. Listen, I got to be careful where I go here. Some of you have been engaged for too long. You're just like a year, 3 years. I got to finish college. It's been 4 or 5 years. Just get married. Work it out, figure it out. It's all gonna work. Don't keep waiting and waiting and waiting till the right moment to have kids, the right moment to get married. And I'm using that as an example because some of you have been waiting for the right moment to start doing deliverance. You just have to start somewhere. It's not as crazy as we've made it out to be. It's not as hard as we made it out to be. You can still minister deliverance. It's not gonna hinder you, okay? Now, I would still, again, if I have a spirit, I would still get deliverance, but understand that it's Christ's authority you're walking in. It's Christ's anointing. At the end of the day, seek deliverance if you need it, but don't wait around until you're completely free before you start praying for others. Or in your eyes, you're completely free. Because one thing we're good at doing is we're good at making excuses. How many of you? Am I the only one? Okay, don't waste your chat because you only could type something every 20 seconds. Okay, so don't type one on this because you're going to waste your comment and you have to wait for 20 seconds to comment again. We all are so good at making excuses. Why I haven't started? Like, think about it right now. Why have we not started praying for our friends and family to be delivered? Let's just all think about it. Let's just stop. We got time. We got about an hour still, more to go. Why have I not started praying for my friends and family that need deliverance? Is it I haven't got enough training, which I have about 70 videos, deliverance training on the playlist on the channel that teaches you literally everything and beyond what you need to know. I have a book coming out in November. I'll show you guys later the cover of deliverance. I mean, what is it that's stopping me? I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. All of these things, we have to at some point just say, I got to lay down the excuses and I got to pick up the cross. I got to lay down the excuses and I got to pick up the sword of the spirit. I got to lay down the excuses. I got to pick up the assignment God has called me to do. And I have to step into this thing. I can't keep delaying. I can't keep putting it off. And I'll talk about that demons transferring into you, Cassandra. I'll talk about doing self-deliverance, all of that. Okay, question two. When casting out demons, where do we send the demons when we cast them out? Where do they go? Now, it's an interesting topic. The Bible doesn't give us a ton of information about it. We do know that ultimately demons' punishment will be in Revelation 20, chapter 20, verse 10. Eventually, they're all going to get cast in the lake of fire. So every demon, the devil, the false prophet, the beast, the antichrist, all of it, and the demons eventually are going to all get thrown in the lake of fire. In Mark 1, the demons cried out saying, have you come to destroy us? So ultimately, there will be a legitimate time of judgment for every demonic spirit, which is great to know, okay? Matthew 8:29, Legion cried out saying, have you come to torment us before the time? So there's a certain time of doom for them. Mark 5, the demon said, Mark chapter 5, Legion begged not to be sent out of the area or out of the country, out of the territory, which means demons are territorial. Also, the demon said, please send us into the pigs. And Jesus gave the demons permission to go into the pigs. Now, there's no biblical explanation on why Jesus did this. And it wasn't a normative practice to command demons to go into pigs. So we probably shouldn't be commanding demons to go into like the horses next door if you're in the country, or our neighbor's cat or our neighbor's dog. I would never teach to command demons to go into animals. We don't know why exactly. We could speculate, and there's a lot of things people think about when it comes to why Jesus let them go into pigs. We don't know. But what we do know is in Mark 9:25, Jesus said for a demon to come out and never enter again. Okay, so he said, come out and never enter again. And in Luke 8:31, in the King James Version, the demons begged Jesus, do not send us back into the deep or back into the abyss. That's in Luke 8:31 in the King James Version. So here's the thing. There's one place in scripture where the demons tell Jesus, we don't want to go here. We don't want to go here. And that is into the abyss or into the deep, which is the pit, okay? So that's, for me, the safest place we can send them is commanding them to come out of the person and go into the abyss or go into the pit. They're the same, or the deep. All three are the same thing. So they don't want to go there. That's where we send them. Now Romans, and I'm going to go through these quick, so don't worry about writing them all down. You can watch in the replay. Romans chapter 10, verse 7 says the abyss is the place of the dead. Revelation 17 says the Antichrist will rise out of the abyss. Revelation 20 says the abyss is where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years before being let out again. And Revelation 9 describes the abyss. Again, the abyss, the deep, and the pit are all the same. In the Greek, they're all the same thing. So they're the same place. You could use any word. But Revelation 9 describes it as an area under the earth where it has some type of shaft where smoke comes out like a furnace. That is the abyss. So here's my personal belief. Demons are sent to the abyss or the pit when we cast them out while they wait to go to judgment. Okay, and we know there's demons in hell tormenting people. That's something different. We know there's demons in people on earth. We know there's demons in the second heaven. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the air. But we know that according to Revelation 20, one day, the demons will be brought out of torment. They'll be brought out of waiting, brought out of the abyss, brought out of wherever they are, and thrown in the lake of fire. So to me, my thinking is the abyss or the pit is where they wait for judgment. And maybe they have authority or ability to torment people in hell. I don't know exactly how that all works theologically, but we know they don't want to go there. So it's a great place to send them. This is the waiting place. Now, what we don't want to do is just recirculate them, right? We don't just want to cast them out and then them go jump in another person, which I'm going to show you actually isn't biblical. I'm going to show you that later. But we want to make sure we're sending them somewhere. Because it's a deliverance is a very legal thing. It's a very legal thing, and they are very legalistic. And whatever you say, they usually will obey by the authority that Christ has given you. So you want to make sure that you're sending them to the right place. Some people, now, there's a teaching, I guess it used to be popular, I don't know, where people would send them to the feet of Jesus. I don't see why you would do that. What's the point of sending them to Jesus? Why are we sending demons? Jesus is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's forever making intercession for us. Why would we try to send demons up to heaven before Jesus? He's already condemned them in judgment. He's already given us authority over them. They say they don't want to go to the abyss. So I would conclude that that's the best place to send them. So we command them to go into the abyss. And for me, oftentimes, you know, demons will be in someone's throat. They'll be choking somebody. They'll not be wanting to leave. And so I will oftentimes just say, come out of their mouth, because that's like usually where they come out and they'll be in the throat. I'll just say, come up out through the throat into the abyss. Okay. So I give them instructions because they're very legalistic and they do what you tell them to do. So I'll often say that in deliverance. It seemed to help me. All right. Question number three, is it common to have the same person go through multiple deliverances? And I know a lot of people are like, I saw that lady get deliverance before and now she's getting deliverance again. It must have been a fake deliverance. That is not the case. In the same way, you can go to the doctor more than once. You can go through deliverance more than once. And we need to stop shaming people for going through more than one deliverance. What if you go through a 10-minute deliverance and not everything came out? So now you went through a 10-minute deliverance, you're not allowed to get delivered again? Imagine going to the doctors, they're like, you're not allowed to go to the doctors again. So a lot of religious people, the cessationist community, the religious, I'll just call them the religious YouTubers, they throw rocks at everybody, but they're not actually walking in anything. They're not actually having any fruit in their life. They're just basement prophets, basement theologians. They will shame people for going through multiple deliverances. But why are we shaming people that need freedom? If you've gotten deliverance once, you might need more deliverance. Oh, well, okay. You go to the doctor because there's pain in your body. If you feel better and then 6 months later you get sick again, you could go again. You can go into the same doctor and he's not going to shame you and say, you were here 6 months ago. A doctor will see you over and over again as long as you need help. So if a secular doctor will continue to help you, why is a spiritual deliverance minister, would we not offer continual help? Now, I don't think we should have habitual deliverance where it's like every week I'm going for more deliverance. I'm not talking about addiction to deliverance. I'm not talking about habitually going over and over again. If some of you don't need deliverance, you need discipline. You don't even need to get delivered. You need to get discipline. But I'm saying if you genuinely need more deliverance, you should not be shamed. You should not be made fun of for needing more deliverance. But again, don't make it a habit. But I think if you need more, now there are a few reasons why. Let me give you a couple reasons. Number one is the person that was getting deliverance wasn't ready. So they need to come back when they're ready. And it's common. I've done deliverances where the person's not fully ready. After a couple, you know, hours sometimes, I'm like, hey, I don't think you're ready. Go do a 2 to 3 day fast, come back for more deliverance, find someone on the map. You're just not ready to be delivered. Not everybody's ready. Not everybody wants it. Some people think they're ready, but then when push comes to shove, they're not really ready. So some people aren't ready. Number two, sometimes in deliverance, there's demons that were hiding that weren't revealed in a previous session. So you might have doing a deliverance and there might be a demon hiding that never surfaces, all right? Never comes to the light. And then you think you're done and you end it because it's been a while. And then the person a month later or a week later realizes there's still more demons there. All right, no big deal. We missed it. We missed some demons. It was a lot to do, okay? So this quick deliverance, microwave deliverance thing, get that out of your mind. People open the door for years to demons and then they want to be instantly delivered spontaneously. It doesn't always happen that way. It's not the way that it works all the time. So just get that out of your mind that it has to be instant and quick. People who say that don't practice real deliverance. That's the bottom line. People are like, well, I just do deliverance quick. I know there's, how could I say this without giving too much away? There's a popular person that always teaches that deliverance should be fast. And, you know, he's like, well, we do deliverance at our services. And they do deliverance as basically they just tap you on the head and apparently you instantly get delivered. But those same people that go to his services come to us and say, hey, I didn't get delivered, right? You just tapped me on the head. I was down for 5 seconds. That's not deliverance. Deliverance is not just a 1 second. It can be, and sometimes it is, but those that do deliverance, and no, I'm not talking about Bob Larson. He does long deliverances. Those that do deliverance oftentimes know it takes time. Tanya, I know you're in the chat. You can testify. Tanya did 4 deliverances this week. They take time. They're a process. So sometimes there's demons hiding. Sometimes they need more deliverance because you just ran out of time. Okay, sometimes it's like, hey, I only had 20, 30 minutes, prayed for them. I ran out of time. They needed more. And so we're going to go do another session. Oh, well. Okay, who cares? And guys, here's the thing. The only people that are going to persecute you for this are the religious. Just don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about what they think. There's no need to even listen to them. They don't even know what they're talking about. They don't do deliverance, so don't take advice from them. They're clueless about it. All they know is that they don't know anything about it. That's all they know. So those people are like, oh, it shouldn't take long. Oh, you know, that person went back for more. Must be fake. Must be a paid actor. I promise you, nobody is paying actors. That's the most ridiculous statement. I have not been accused of that, but I've heard other deliverance ministries accused of that. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Nobody's paying actors. From my understanding, no one's even getting paid. I've never made a dollar from doing a deliverance on somebody. We don't charge for it. It's free. We spend a lot of money every month on running the deliverance map because the website host costs a lot to run the app we use. We pay somebody to run it. So we're not making any money. We're negative in the money when it comes to deliverance. And I don't even want to go into all that, but my point is, it's such a dumb thing to say, oh, that person got delivered more than once. They must be an actor. They must be faking it. How about that's not the case? Number four, the last and most common reason someone might need multiple deliverance is because they just had an altar deliverance, right? They went to a powerful altar call and they had a quick 1 to 2 minute prayer, 3 minute prayer. Something manifested, something came out. And some people do get fully delivered at the altar in 5 minutes. It does happen. But I'm talking about when you're sitting down with someone who really needs deliverance, oftentimes there's a wrestling. There's a wrestling match. There's time that it needs to take, okay? It's not just quick. It's not just easy. So if they had that quick altar deliverance, they might need more. So don't shame them. How are you going to shame them when you're supposed to be on the side of God? God is not here shaming people that need freedom. Did Jesus shame people? Did Jesus shame the man at the tombs? Did Jesus shame the man in Mark 1 in the synagogue? Did Jesus shame the woman in Luke 13 that needed deliverance? Did Jesus shame the Syrophoenician woman who needed deliverance for her daughter? No, he delivered them. He delivered them. So pastors that shame people for needing deliverance are not acting like Christ, because this is not what Christ did. He helped people. He didn't shame people. And some of the people he helped tried everything. They went to every doctor. They went to every physician, and Jesus was the only answer. So we don't shame, like, oh, you went to other deliverance ministries, now you're here. Who cares? Cool. We'll pray for you. And if you need to go to another ministry next week because you feel like you need more freedom, who am I to tell you that you don't need more deliverance? Who am I to tell you that you don't need more freedom? So multiple deliverances oftentimes happen. All right, number four. Question number four. I probably should have put these on screen, but I likely won't get through most of them. So maybe we'll do a part two. We'll figure it out. Let's just go for it. Okay, here. Question number four. Isn't it dangerous to cast out demons in a public setting? Won't the demons jump out of one person onto another person? Another thing that people think is a theory is like, I don't want to cast out demons in a public setting because the demons are going to jump out of one person and jump into another person. This is not true. This is completely unscriptural. This is the reasons why a lot of churches and modern churches and the American Church Incorporated doesn't want to do deliverance. They're afraid that it's going to jump off one person into another person. There's nowhere in scripture where we find that in the Bible warning us that a demon's going to jump from person to person. In fact, if we look at the deliverance ministry of Jesus, he constantly cast out demons in public. If we look at Acts chapter 8, Philip, who's the only evangelist, named evangelist in scripture, cast out demons in Acts chapter 8 in a public setting. The idea that demons are going to jump off, oh no, they're going to jump into my kids, not scriptural. Not scriptural. Okay? And a lot of people think, well, it has to be done in private. That's a fear tactic. The enemy has kept the church basically bound, not doing deliverance, because we think we have to always do it in private. It's great to do it in private. It's usually easier to do it in private, but it's not the case. The devil hates deliverance and he'll create every lie possible. Think about it, chat. He'll create every lie possible to make sure people don't get set free. And one of those lies is that demons like to play leapfrog with people and jump from one to the other to the other. That's not the case. Remember, we're commanding demons to go into the abyss. We're taking them out of circulation. The same way, if you take a counterfeit $100 bill to the bank, they don't put it back in circulation. They destroy it. We're taking demons out of circulation. Now, some of you might say, well, brother, I was at a deliverance service and I've never had any issues or no demons manifest. And all of a sudden I saw a lady next to me get delivered and I started having crazy dreams and manifestations, and that her demon jumped in me because now I'm having all these issues. That's not what happened. Her demon did not jump in you. What happened was the demon that was dormant, the demon that you didn't know was there, got triggered because it was around deliverance. And now your demons are acting up. They're acting crazy. They're mad. They're throwing a tantrum because that you were in a deliverance service. So it wasn't her demons jumping into you. It was the demons you didn't know you had manifesting. And that's a very common phenomenon. But let's stop being concerned about demons are jumping off of people playing leapfrog. Demons come in through open doors of sin. I want you to remember that. Demons come in through legal rights, traumatic experiences, open doors of sin. I have a whole chapter in my book on how demons get in. I have teachings all on the channel, how demons get in. They don't come in through going to a deliverance service. They don't come in through watching deliverance. You might have watched a deliverance video and be like, I got a demon now. No, the demon you had is now mad. You made the demon mad by watching its own team, its own friends get kicked out of their house. But it wasn't that you had, you know, all of a sudden a demon jumped out of you. All right. Demon didn't just randomly jump out of you. And somebody said, like, do all the demons come out all at once? Not always. They don't always all come out the first time. You have to put pressure on them. You have to warfare. You have to wrestle. I'm telling you, it's not an instant thing usually. Sometimes it is, but it would be more of the exception than the rule. Usually it takes time to do deliverance. And I promise you, just believe me what I'm about to say. Okay. I'm reading the chat. I'm aware. Please. I promise you that when you start doing deliverance, you'll understand what I'm telling you. Everybody that does legitimate deliverance, that sees results, sees people get free, every one of them agree with me. It's not usually a 1 minute, 2 minute thing. It is sometimes, and God can do whatever he wants to do. So we never limit God. God can instantly deliver you from 10,000 demons in 1 second. But usually when you're praying for someone to be delivered, the demons are stubborn. They don't want to leave. They've been there a long time. It usually takes more. Someone said 3 or more hours. Listen, all of those in the chat that have done legitimate deliverance will tell you, you got to get rid of this whole, oh, it's super, super quick. Okay. Question number 5, thoughts on speaking to demons. Do I agree with talking to demons when casting them out? It's very important that we make sure that when we're doing deliverance and engaging in conversation with demons, that we are interrogating them, not having a conversation with them. Okay, we're not there to get all this information that we don't need. We are there to interrogate them in the same way Jesus did. Jesus talked to demons in deliverance. So it's okay that we do if we stay on topic, if we stay on topic. And they might, you know, give information to you, like why they're there, who else is there, the number of demons are there, why they're not leaving, an object they might be attached to, how long they've been in the person. They might tell you their name, which is what happened in the Bible, and that will help you because their name is their function. Their name is tied to their function. So a spirit of confusion, you know it's there. You know it's going to try to confuse you. A spirit of rage, a spirit of anger. Okay, so you know that that's the function of the demon when it gives you its name. So it's okay to ask a demon its name. Now, I wouldn't start asking a demon, you know, its genealogy and what it did 2 weeks ago and, you know, what this. I wouldn't start asking off-topic questions, but you can let the Holy Spirit guide you and ask it what you need to ask it. Because sometimes that will help you and also help the person realize that the thoughts they've been having and the demon speaking out of them wasn't them. It was the demon the entire time, okay? And I know you're thinking like, well, the demons are going to lie to me. Understand that lies and deceit are different. Satan is the father of lies, according to John 8:44, but he's more of a deceiver than he is a liar. Remember, when he came to Jesus using scripture, he didn't lie, he deceived. When he came in the Garden of Eden, he didn't lie, he deceived. So this is what he does. He oftentimes will try to deceive you, but we actually don't find, just think about this, don't get mad at me. We don't find in the entire New Testament one instance, not one, of a demon lying. In fact, when demons manifested, they told the truth and Jesus told them to be quiet. Jesus, go read Mark 1:24. Jesus is like, shut your mouth, stop talking. Why did Jesus tell in Mark 1 the demon to be quiet? Because it was telling the truth. It was saying, you're the Most High. You're the Son of God. The demons recognized who Jesus was, but the Pharisees didn't. And Jesus didn't want the demon saying who he was. He wanted the people to realize it on their own. And so he told the demon, be quiet. Because I'm waiting. I want them to catch it. But you're giving up who I am before the demons realized. The demons recognized. So you're going to see actually the demons were truthful when they spoke out of. You won't find one instance. You won't find one instance in the New Testament of a demon lying. They told the truth. Now, they can lie, obviously, okay? And they do lie. The best thing to do is let the Holy Spirit give you discernment and just say, I command you to be truthful in the name of Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit, sometimes a demon will lie to me and the Holy Spirit's like, that's a lie. Okay, so, and the thing is, I'm not relying on their information as much as I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to give me information. So I'm not even really relying on what they're saying anyways. I'm just basically taking what they say at face value, but I'm not hinging the whole deliverance on the demons. So we don't want to talk to them too much because then they'll start leading the deliverance. So we want to make sure that we stay in control of the deliverance because oftentimes they'll start trying to talk and act crazy and laugh and put on a show. We don't want to do all that. This is not a show. This is a miracle that God does. The Bible calls deliverance a miracle. Jesus said, don't stop them from casting out demons. Nobody that does miracles in my name will speak bad about me. So he calls the casting out of demons miracles. If you hate deliverance, you hate miracles. You're a miracle hater. Like my friend doesn't like deliverance. He's a miracle hater. My pastor doesn't like deliverance. He's a miracle hater. I don't know what to tell you. If you hate deliverance, you hate miracles because Jesus calls them a miracle. It's a work of God. So be very careful about how you talk about his work and what he's doing. All right, so deceit, a deliberate attempt to mislead. This is what demons do. They try to mislead you. But again, oftentimes they will tell the truth. Now, how long should you talk to the demon? Well, I only talk to the demon when I'm stuck or I need a piece of information or I want to know its name. But if you start, you know, having a conversation with it and it becomes a thing where it's like, you know, you're just asking off-topic information, you've probably gone too long. If you start asking the demons things unrelated to what you need to know, you've gone too long. All right. And I've done that before. In my early days, we'd sit there and interrogate demons for too long. And like, oh, well, and the demon would be like, there's a pack of witches attacking you. Oh, where do they live? And you're asking all these random questions. It's too long. If you start getting information about other people from the demon, you've gone too long. Okay. You've gone too long when the demon starts telling on other people. Just like, hey, no, stick to the point. All right. Question number six. Pay attention to how I'm wording this. Can anyone who loves Jesus and is spirit-filled do deliverance? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. This is very important, especially for my new deliverance ministers, new deliverance Christians, let me just call them biblical Christians in the chat. And this is for every believer. And the fear of casting out demons is from a demon, okay? Matthew 12:28, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, by the Spirit of God, the kingdom has come upon you. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Imagine that. First time we see a believer, the first sign of a believer is they will cast out demons. Imagine if that was the standard. Like, oh, you're a believer, do you cast out demons? That's the first sign is they will cast out demons. We know Acts 8, Philip cast out demons. Acts 21, Philip is called an evangelist. And he cast out demons. So we've been given authority. Luke 9, verse 1. He called the 12 and gave them authority over all the demons. What demons do we have authority over? Don't type it in the chat because we're on slow mode and you're going to waste your comment. But I'll tell you, all the demons. That's what the Bible says, Luke 9, 1. Over all the demons. So there's no demon that you don't have authority over. If you're casting a demon out of somebody and it's like, I'm the head, you know, demon from blah, blah, blah in Puerto Rico, and they try to flex on you, and I've had this happen to me before, and I'm too strong, I'm too powerful, I'm the third degree, fourth black belt demon. Don't matter. Guess what? Quote Luke 9:1 to them. I've been given authority over all the demons. I'm a disciple. Jesus has conferred his authority over on me, all the demons. Don't matter if you're seventh degree black belt demon. Okay, it doesn't matter how high ranking you are. Doesn't matter if you're this or that. If you're in a person, I've been given authority over you to cast you out of that person. Now, I'm not going to be trying to go up into the heavenlies and blah, 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 and float into a demon and try to like astral project. I'm not doing none of that. I'm just casting demons out of people. I'm staying in my jurisdiction. I've been given authority over all the demons, all right? And over again, we're in the Bible, we're commanded to cast out demons. We're given authority as disciples. The disciples did it. We've been called to do it. Spiritual warfare is all throughout the scripture. All right, question number seven. Advice on casting demons out of children. First of all, can kids have demons? Yes. Emphatically, yes. Kids can have demons. We see in Matthew 15:22, the Syrophoenician woman's daughter had a demon. And Mark 9:17, there was a man whose son was demonized. So there's a couple ways you can discern whether your kid has a demon. Well, some of you already know. You're like, my kid has a demon. That's the bottom line. They're trying to bite people in church. They're hissing. They're growling. They're making weird noises. They're terrible. They're rebellious. They're stubborn. It's one thing to be a kid, and some people just have bad kids. Just maybe it's bad parenting, bad discipline, whatever. But some kids have demons, and some parents have kids that are not bad kids. They have kids that have demons, and they need to get delivered. But a lot of kids do have demons. The devil doesn't play fair. Well, that's not fair. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be fair. Fair does not exist in the devil's dictionary. He doesn't have to play fair. In fact, the devil preys on children. Have you ever heard of a little thing called abortion, where the devil uses it to murder millions of babies? Is that fair? Absolutely, it's not fair. But the devil doesn't play fair. That's the thing. We don't live in a fair world, so stop thinking it's going to be fair. The devil loves to demonize kids. So you can use discernment, where the Holy Spirit will show you your kid has a demon, or you can also use detection, which is you can detect something by looking at the evidence, okay? The word detective comes from looking at evidence and then coming up with a conclusion. If a child is having demonic symptoms, you don't need discernment to know they have a demon because you have evidence there. So you know, like, oh, there's evidence. I'm seeing stuff in their life. They're saying things that they shouldn't know about, that only an unclean spirit would know about. If your kid's very young and they're saying, like, oh, for the sake of kids probably are watching, but just inappropriate things, okay? You can use your own imagination on what I mean by that. If your kid's saying inappropriate things they shouldn't know about, they probably have a demon. So what you should do is what the Bible tells us to do. If your kid has a demon, take initiative. In both stories, that is in Matthew 15, 22 and Luke and Mark 9, 17, in both stories of Jesus casting out demons from children, the parents took initiative. You don't need to wait until your kids come and say, "Mommy, I have a demon." Likely, your kid is not going to say that unless they snuck on YouTube and watched my videos, okay? They're likely not going to say that. You need to take initiative. Is ADHD a demon? It could be. It could be. It's not always, but it could be. A lot of mental disorders that kids, you know, have could be demons. So you can definitely have a demon. Your kids can definitely have a demon, and you can go to somebody that does deliverance and pray for them. But I would recommend you praying for them. I would recommend you taking authority over that demonic spirit. And before you do, you go to deliverance first. So parents need to take initiative. Also, Jesus honors the faith of the parents. In both stories that I just shared with you, Jesus honored the faith of the parents. In both stories, he honored the parents' faith. When the boy's father went to the disciples and they couldn't do it, he pressed Jesus to do it, and Jesus did it. So don't get discouraged. You need to have boldness. You need to have perseverance. But I would first get delivered. If it's good enough for your kids to get deliverance, you should get deliverance. Okay, if I'm like, my kid needs to get delivered. First of all, I want to make sure that my house is clean. And then I want to bring them for deliverance or do deliverance on them myself. We have to stop making excuses like, well, there's nobody that's willing to pray for my kid. And some people don't want to pray for kids. I get it, right? That's a very sensitive thing and they don't want to deal with it. Do it yourself. There are lots of good videos, lots of good trainings we have on our channel and other great channels on YouTube that do deliverance and ministries. So you get delivered and then do deliverance on them. Okay, so it's not required, but it's helpful. Frank Hammond also has a book called Children's Deliverance, which is a great book you can check out. He goes through step-by-step different ages. And I would say if they're very young, you know, you don't have to do all the steps of like, I'm going to take them through renouncing. I'm going to take them through this. Command that demon to leave them. Some of you need to get bold and stop allowing the devil in your house and say, I am not allowing the devil in my house. I'm not allowing these demons to run rampant. I'm not allowing these demons to run rampant in my kid's life. I'm going to take authority over them and I'm going to drive these demons out of them. I've been given the power and the authority from Christ, by Christ, through Christ, to take authority over unclean spirits. And if you're waiting on your pastor, unless you go through a church that does deliverance, which isn't super common, do not wait around for your pastor. Well, my pastor said he's going to... You could probably do it better than a lot of your pastors, okay? Just go for it. Just do it yourself. You don't need to wait around. Take authority over those unclean spirits. Go through deliverance and take authority over those unclean spirits. All right, question number 8. Can someone who has a demon die and still go to heaven? All right, and this is very, very common question. People that have demons are afraid that they're, you know, and you know, I believe, and I'm not even going to go into it tonight, but I have tons of videos on the channel, Christians can be demonized. That means they can't have a demon. So is it possible to have a demon, be a Christian, live a life for God, and still go to heaven? And the answer is yes. I want to make something very clear. The presence of a demon cannot prevent you from being saved. As I said before, There's many Christians who have lived their entire lives demonized, not realizing that they could even be set free. There's heaps of churches where there are Christians there demonized, but saved. And in fact, because most churches don't believe Christians could have demons, tons of Christians have demons and are still saved and still going to go to heaven, but are fighting things that God doesn't want them to fight their whole lives. There will be millions who have died and will die in the future who were Christians their entire lives and didn't know deliverance was available to them. So they ended up dying with demons still in them. The basis of your salvation is not determined by whether you have a demon. It's determined by what Jesus did on the cross. And the simplest way to put it is that those who have a relationship with Christ can be sure they're saved. Having a relationship with Christ produces a changed lifestyle. So that's the thing. If the lifestyle isn't changed, if somebody comes to Christ and nothing changes, they still live the same sinful lifestyle, I would question if they genuinely got saved, if they genuinely are born again. Because a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. I posted a video last week, Matthew 7. A bad tree can't produce good fruit, and a good tree can't produce bad fruit. So we have to look at the actions. But we have to understand that a demon cannot rob us of our salvation. It is possible to have a demon and not give in to the urges or desires that it gives you. And demons aren't forcing you to sin, but they're giving you intense urges and desires that God wants to deliver you from. And deliverance does give you incredible relief from these desires. But let me be clear, you can be saved and have demons simultaneously. So if you die as a Christian with demons, your soul and spirit will be with God. And the demons you had on earth will likely wander looking for a new body, looking for a new assignment. This is why there's intense increased activity in hospitals and in graveyards, because people die and the demons are looking for a new victim. The demons are looking for a new victim when the person dies. So that's why, like, people say, oh, I saw a demon at a graveyard, or would they, people in the occult go to graveyards to try to encounter demons. It's because the activities increase because people have passed away and the demons are looking for a new assignment. All right, question number 9. We're gonna go a little bit quicker here. My church doesn't practice deliverance. We're gonna probably have to just do a part 2 to this, either this week or next week. But my church doesn't practice deliverance, should I leave? This is very touchy, and I would hate to be, well, maybe I wouldn't hate to be, but I don't want to be the reason why someone decides to leave their church. But let me give you my honest opinion. Okay, before I answer this, if your church is dead, you should find a new church. I don't care if you grew up there, your parents, you know, have their handprints, your grandparents have their handprints in the cement, doesn't matter. If the church is dead, I'm not raising my kids in a graveyard. I don't care. Well, I was there my whole life. I don't care how long I was there, 30 minutes or 30 years. I'm not raising my kids in a graveyard. I'm not raising my kids where there's death, spiritual death. I'm not investing my time in my life into somewhere where it doesn't produce any results. So that's number one. Now, that's spiritually. If your church is dead, find a new church. Number two is you have to use your own discretion and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Deliverance is not a salvation issue. It's a secondary issue whether someone believes in it. So if somebody doesn't believe deliverance is for today, it doesn't mean they're going to hell. It's a secondary issue, although to me it's a very important issue. It is possible to attend a good church that doesn't teach on deliverance and get teaching on it elsewhere. That is possible, okay? However, personally, I would never attend a church that doesn't believe in and practice the ministry of deliverance. All right, so let me rephrase it. It's possible, be at a good church, they don't talk about or do deliverance. However, Isaiah Saldivar personally would never attend a church that doesn't believe in or practice the ministry of deliverance. The reason is, if I can't bring my own demonized friends and family to a church to receive freedom, where can I take them, right? Like, if you can't take your friends and family to the church where God is, where the Holy Spirit is dwelling, where Christ is, and I can't bring my friends or family to get freedom, where can I go? I believe the church should be a healthy place where people can come and receive healing and freedom. And to me, it's sad how many pastors don't practice deliverance and how many churches deny the need for it. So that's me personally. I could never, ever, 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 ever attend a church where they're not doing deliverance or believing in it or talking about it. But some of you might be able to. Maybe the Lord's called you to bring a revival or to be there for a season and there's good Bible teaching. It's not a salvific thing or salvation issue. I just know the world we live in, we need to see deliverance. We need deliverance. Okay, question number 10. It's a great lead here. I need deliverance, but there's no church or Christian around me that offers deliverance. What should I do? Well, one of the reasons why we came up with the Deliverance Map, the Deliverance Network, which is deliverancemap.com or deliverance, isaiahsaldivar.com/deliverance, where you can basically find someone in your area to pray for you, is because of this question. People didn't know where to go. So go to the Deliverance Map and look for somebody. Find a deliverance church. So if you don't know, you can't find someone on the map, I don't care if you have to start Googling spirit-filled churches and then calling the office and saying, hey, you know, like in the Bible where Jesus cast out demons and the secretary says, yeah, do you guys do that? Just call. Type in spirit-filled churches in my area. Hey, you know in the Bible where, say this to them, to the secretary at the church. Do you know in the Bible where Jesus cast out demons? Oh, yeah. Do you guys do that at this church? Like, that's it. And if they say no, okay, thank you so much. Find another church that does it to try to get there and say, I want prayer. I need prayer. I need freedom. I have a demon. If the worst case, find spirit-filled believers. And even if they don't know how to cast out demons, throw on some YouTube teachings on how to cast out demons, learn together and say, hey, we're going to practice on each other. You're going to cast demons out of me. I'm going to cast demons out of you. All right. We're going to learn together. I can't find a church. I can't find anyone on the map. So I'm going to find a believer around me and we're going to do this thing. We're going to learn together. You just got to figure it out. My little sister cast demons out of me. I was saved a few days, so desperate, trying to do self-deliverance. It wasn't happening. The demons were screaming out of me in my college parking lot. I was literally in my car and demons were screaming out of me. I didn't know what to do. I went home and my little sister cast demons out of me. If my little sister can do it, you can do it. You guys can do it. Figure it out. Find somebody. If you're desperate, you'll find help. You'll find help. Again, we made the Deliverance Map as a resource. There's thousands of people on there now. It's a lot of work. Every day we're getting people added and we're deleting people and going through emails. And it's a lot of work, but you can find somebody. All right. Okay. Question 11. Is it normal to be nervous when I have a deliverance scheduled? Yes. It's normal to be nervous right now. Okay. When we're talking about demons, if you have a demon, guess what? That demon's going to be nervous. Guess what? You might be sick to your stomach. Guess what? You might not want to listen to this type of teaching. The demon might tell you to turn it off. You might have a deliverance. What's today? Maybe you have a deliverance scheduled for Wednesday. It's normal to be nervous because the demon knows it's going to be evicted. It's like the demon could hear me right now. The demon that might be in you, it could totally hear me right now. So it knows it's being threatened. It's being exposed. You're learning about the spiritual realm. You're learning about deliverance. So yeah, it's definitely going to get startled. It's going to get anxious. It's going to get mad. And you'll often feel what it's experiencing. So it's not really that you're nervous. It's that the personality in you, remember, demons are personalities, persons without bodies, Ephesians 6. It's the personality in you is nervous. You might be sitting in a service and the preacher's preaching and you get nervous and you feel sick to your stomach. That's the demon in you. That's the demon in you. Or you're at an altar and your heart's racing and you're sick. That's the demon in you. So sickness, nervousness, heart racing, sweating, all that stuff is normal because the demon's about to get evicted. Let me ask you a question. If you were living somewhere with your children and your friends and your family for 20 years and you had all your furniture there, you had your life there, you have nowhere else to go but the house you live in, and all of a sudden I called you right now and said, oh, by the way, the county that owns your house or the person or the landlord, whatever, is evicting you. Pack your bags. I'm kicking you, your family, and all your friends out right now. Right now. You don't have like, you're getting evicted right now. We're kicking you out. You all have no place to live. You're going. Would you get nervous? Would you hang up the phone and be like, hey guys, by the way, we're getting evicted. You'd be nervous. You'd be anxious. You'd be stressed. Where am I going to go? I don't want to leave. I've been here for so long. All of my stuff is here. I don't have time to pack my furniture. You'd be stressed out and anxious. That's exactly the emotion that demons have. Are you guys tracking? Let me know in the chat. That's the exact emotion the demons have when we're talking about them. Right now, we're literally talking about them having to leave. And so that's the emotion that they get. That's the nervousness you're feeling. It's the demon in you. And demons live in people, which is question number 12. Where do demons live? They live in people. Now, principally, they live in the air, which is the devil is the prince of the power of the air. The second heaven is where demons live. Ephesians 2:1 says, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. You used to live and follow the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the children of disobedience and those who are disobedient. So the ruler, the devil is the ruler, Ephesians 2:1, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So there is a kingdom in the air, in the second heaven, the spiritual realm, where the demons are, where the devil rules, but they are commissioning lower ranking demons into people. So, and we know that the devil has had access to the throne of God. I don't know how that works now in the new covenant. We know that demons have access to the lower depths of the earth and to hell. There's demons there. How they go in or out, we're not fully sure. We also know in Luke 11:24 that demons live in dry places. Demons also live, the Bible says, in evil places. That's Revelation 2:13. Satan had his throne in a physical place. So demons live in dry places, evil places, in the air. But above all of that, demons long to live inside of people. That's in Luke 11:24. An unclean spirit goes out of a man, goes through dry places seeking rest, finds none, and says, "I'll return to the house which I came." So demons need a body to sin through. They need a house to live in. A spirit of addiction needs body parts. So they crave sin. Demons want to do evil, right? So let's say a spirit of addiction, a spirit of alcohol addiction, it wants to drink. Now the demon is man, I need to do more of these teachings. I got a lot to go here. The demons need a person to sin through. So a demon has no physical body, but it craves alcohol. It craves drugs, right? Whatever it craves, whatever spirit it is, whatever type it is. It needs your body so it can sin through your body because it doesn't have a physical body. It has a spiritual body. A demon of lying needs your mouth to lie through. A demon of perversion needs your eyes to look at perverted things. It needs your hands to do perverted things. Are you tracking? So the demon needs your body. The demon wants your body to sin through and to do its evil pleasures and evil desires through. So demons want to live in people. This is what they want to do. And they call people their home. And just like the Holy Spirit needs a body to work through, this is why Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, offer your body to God. If you've never done that, you should. Give your body to God as a living sacrifice. You should offer God your body. God, you could have my body. Put my body on the altar of a living sacrifice. Romans 12, commit myself to God. Lord, you can use my hands. You can use my feet. You can use my mouth. Are you guys tracking? The Holy Spirit uses people, uses our actual bodies. Right now, the Holy Spirit's speaking through me. As you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit, is speaking through you. That's the way the demons want to speak through you. That's the way the demons want to sin through you. So the Lord uses your body. Demons need your body to establish Satan's kingdom through. So they're looking to do this. They're looking to establish their kingdom through you and to sin through you and to live through you and to act through you and to do their evil bidding through you. Have you ever looked at somebody and been like, the devil's using you? Jesus told that to Peter, Satan, get behind me. Satan's using you, Peter. He's using you. Get behind me. Satan used Judas. So we know that Satan uses people, literally their bodies. And some of you are like, yep, that's my ex-girlfriend. That's my ex-boyfriend. Yeah, Satan used them. Satan used them to do things and to commit sin. And Satan used a lot of people. And guess what? Satan used me for 19 years. Satan used me for years. I remember when I was in the world wanting to get all my friends to drink for the first time. And friends I didn't want to drink. And I was like, I had this demonic, let's just say it what it is. I remember one night I had this demonic desire, like I want my friends that were like, we don't want to drink, we're not, you know, I wanted so badly to get them to drink. And I begged my one friend who was one of my best friends. He was like, I don't drink, I don't do drugs. He was a good guy, right? And I begged him for like an hour, bro, just drink. I peer pressured him for about an hour, hammered him down. And there was a demonic desire in me to get him to drink. And I got him to drink. And then he started drinking every day. And then his life spiraled because I got him to do something evil and bad and destructive. And what the Bible says, it'll lead to debauchery. Alcohol and drinking and drunkenness leads to debauchery and sin. And the Bible literally says alcohol, strong drink will ruin your life. And for a season, it ruined my life and it ruined his life. What was in me making me so badly want to cause my friend to do something destructive? Can anybody guess? A demon. I didn't know what it was, but a demon was using me, using my mouth, using my body. So that's what you have to recognize. When demons are using somebody, I can't have that in my life. I can't allow that. Like, hey, I recognize the devil is using this person. They're ministers. that I know right now that are single, right? And then they get in a relationship with somebody, they're dating somebody, and like literally, you can go to the person's Instagram profile of who they're dating, and these are men of God, single men of God, right? They're younger guys, are out there preaching, and then you go to the girl that they're with Instagram, it's like, she's posting all these terrible pictures, she's half naked in every picture, and I'm just like, man, the devil's using that girl to reach that preacher, that guy, to get him to sin and lust. You're telling me that that minister, that preacher, is not lusting after her, going on her Instagram profile? Do you guys see what I'm saying? This is how the devil works in people and in families and in the list goes on. But I've seen him do this to ministers and to people over and over and over. The devil, and some of you right now are realizing, oh man, the devil's using somebody in my life. The demons are using the person's body in my life to cause me to sin. And I can't have that. I can't live my life allowing these demons and people to control them and to influence me and to use them to have their evil way and to do evil things and to make me say sinful things and to make me go sinful places. Like, man, the darkness in some people, and they don't even realize it. So how about this? Instead of letting them influence you, why don't you get equipped and trained and walk in this and start casting demons out of people? Let's call it there. Let's pray. Why don't we now walk in this? And I'll do a part two probably next week because I have a bunch more stuff I want to go over and I want to do a live Q&A as well. But why don't we do this? Why don't we walk in it? We've got an hour and 10 minutes. Why don't we say, I'm going to walk in this. I want to walk in this power. Let's pray that the Lord would equip us to walk in this. And then let's pray for deliverance. Let's spend, 10 minutes praying for deliverance. Because I just thought about it. It's like, I didn't have a plan to pray for deliverance, but how are we going to do deliverance teaching and not actually pray for people to be delivered? So we're also going to pray for that as well. But let's ask the Lord to use us. Father, we pray right now, God, use us to do deliverance. God, use us as your mouthpiece, God. We ask you, Lord, equip us for the good work of deliverance. Equip us to do what you've called us to do, and that is drive out demons. Lord, your word says they shall cast out demons. And so I want you right now to volunteer. Don't click off. This is the most important part. I want you right now to volunteer and say, God, use me to cast out demons. Don't say it unless you mean it. Don't say it unless you're ready for the Lord to lead you and do deliverance on people. And all of a sudden, watch, people are going to start coming around you that need freedom and need deliverance. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to do the work. Send the right people, God, that need deliverance. Lord, we are ready. We are armed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Stir up spiritual gifts right now. God, I pray that you'd break the fear that people have to deliverance. Do not be afraid. The Bible says, fear not. Why are we afraid? Why are we afraid? There's nothing to be afraid of. God has given us the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to walk in boldness. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority, that there is no fear here, that we are ready to do what you've called us to do. We are ready to do what you've called us to do. We are volunteers. The Bible says they will be volunteers in the day of my power. God, we are volunteering to do deliverance work. We are volunteering to do the ministry of deliverance. We're saying yes to you. We might not be perfect. We might not have it all together, but we're ready to do what you've called us to do. We're ready to walk in obedience. We say yes to the call of God. Use us, God. Use us. There's 2,000 of you on here right now. The Lord can use you. We can start a revolution with 2,000 of us casting out demons, laying hands on the sick, doing the work that Christ has called us to do. We command those things to leave us now that are not of you. Just command it to go, that fear. There's no fear. You don't need to be afraid of demons. God has not given you the spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. There's nothing they can do to harm you in deliverance. There's freedom. There's breakthrough. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing freedom to people right now. We just command freedom right now. We just bind every unclean spirit that is tormenting you, that is plaguing your mind, that is harming you. We command every unclean spirit to leave you now in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have no authority. You have no legal right. You must go in Jesus' name. You must go in Jesus' name. You have no right to be there. The Lord rebukes you, Satan. Come up and out in Jesus' name. I bind you. I cancel every demonic assignment. I cancel every plan of the enemy, and I command you, go now in Jesus' name. Every foul spirit of lust, anger, bitterness, resentment, trauma, go in Jesus' name. Let these people go, come out of their mouth and go into the abyss right now in Jesus' mighty name. The blood is against you, Satan. The blood is against you, Satan. We rebuke you now. Go in Jesus' name. You have no authority. You have no legal right. You have no right to be there. You must go in Jesus' name. We bind you. The blood is against you. The blood is against you. Every spirit of suicide, every spirit of addiction, every spirit of bitterness and anger, you must go. You have no right to be here. You let that demon know, I'm not your home. I am not your home. We officially evict you now in Jesus' name. We officially evict every unclean spirit now in Jesus' name. They are not your home. You must go in Jesus' name. The blood is against you. We rebuke you, Satan. Go. Every foul spirit, every generational curse is broken. Every spirit must go now in Jesus' name. Every spirit must go. Loose them right now. Loose them right now. Holy Spirit, we pray freedom. There's people in the chat saying they're throwing up. They feel nauseous. Just let it go. Come out. Come out. Everything must go. They are not your home. Up and out now in Jesus' name. I started throwing up. Yeah, you might need to get a bowl and start letting it come out of you. It's normal to throw these things up. They come out of the mouth. In Jesus' mighty name, go. 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 All of it must go. We bind every unclean spirit. I feel sick to my stomach. Yeah, there's... Some of you are going to find out you need deliverance right now, and you need to go on the deliverance map and find somebody or find a local church to do deliverance on you. Some of you are getting free right now, but others of you, you need to find somebody. You're finding out you have a demon right now. I feel sick. I don't feel good at all. Leave now. Let these people go. Let these people go, Satan. Loose them in Jesus' name. Spirit of rage, spirit of anger, spirit of addiction. Why am I crying uncontrollably? Those spirits are manifesting. Go. Come up and out now. Go in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come out of their body. Come out of their mouth. Come off their body. And go in Jesus' name. The blood is against you, Satan. You are bound. You are bound. The blood is against you. We pray the fire of God against you. The fire of God to burn out every demon right now. The fire of God to burn out every demon right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you must go. Holy Spirit, I just pray, have your way. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring deliverance, that the finger of God, the delivering power of God would rest upon everybody watching. I pray the delivering power of God right now. Holy Spirit, just do what you only you can do. Sometimes I just ate, my stomach's aching. Is it a demon or the food? Probably a demon. If it's just aching all of a sudden while we're praying. Loose him right now. Loose him right now. You have no authority. Go. In Jesus' name, come out. Find your way out right now. We come in agreement against you, Satan. You are bound. The blood is against you. You've been defeated. You've been defeated. Go now. The fire of God is against you right now. Fire of the Holy Spirit is against you right now. Everything must go. Spirit of religion, spirit of rage, spirit of anger. Every unclean spirit, go into the abyss now. Go into the pit now in Jesus' name. Out of their body parts. Out of their body parts. Out of their mind. Out of their spirit, out of their soul, right now, go. In Jesus' name, let him go. Let him go out in Jesus' name, right now. Come on, a couple more minutes, guys. We're going to press for a few more minutes. Your time is up. We cancel every demonic assignment right now. We cancel every demonic distraction, every demonic connection right now. We sever every root in Jesus' name. We sever every tie in Jesus' name. The blood is against you. Go. The blood is against you. Go now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fire. Holy Spirit, fire. The blood of Jesus cancels the plans of the enemy. We sever your roots. Every spirit of perversion and lust and confusion. Every spirit of homosexuality out now in Jesus' name. You have no authority. You have no legal rights. Go in Jesus' name. We rebuke you, Satan. We bind you, Satan. Go. Go in Jesus' mighty name. Go in Jesus' mighty name. You have no legal rights. You have no authority. The blood is against you. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, freedom right now. Every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of blasphemy, come out right now. Go into the pit in Jesus' name. Go into the pit in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray that you would do what only you can do tonight, God. We pray a wave of freedom, a wave of deliverance, a wave of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, burn out everything that is not of you and deliver your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Deliver your people, we pray in Jesus' name. We're going to hear great testimonies. We're going to hear great testimonies, guys, of all the deliverances that are going to break out after the stream. You guys getting equipped. You guys getting trained. Now is the time. The warfare is intense right now in the world, but the Lord is going to have his way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you guys to sow into the broadcast. We do all of our content for free, and we want to encourage you guys to sow. It keeps us going. We literally couldn't do it without your guys' support. So right now, I'm going to give you guys a chance to give right there. It's biblical. I have entire videos on it. If you're one of those like, oh, no, I don't want to give, then just don't give. Just stay and be a part. If you have like $5 in your bank account, don't give your last $5. But if you have the finances and you want to bless this word and this ministry and sow into the stream, the Bible says what you sow, you will reap. If you sow little, you reap little. Don't get mad that you're not reaping anything when you're not planting your seed in good ground. So the links to give are all there. Pray about becoming a monthly partner with us. That helps us. We're viewer supported, crowdfunded. We're demonetized everywhere but YouTube because of this content. How many of you know they don't like the content we put out because it goes against the culture, but we're going to keep putting it out. We're going to hang out for a little bit, and then in about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to go over to Jared and Candace's stream. They're going to be streaming after me. They have some young people they're going to be sharing. If you have young people, of children, get them on Jared and Candace's stream because they're going to be having some young people share tonight to the kids, the youth, so you don't want to miss that. The links to give are there. Please pray about becoming a monthly partner. Our monthly partnership is always up and down in summertime. We're way down. Just being transparent with you guys, our monthly partnership is way down. Our ministry income is way down because we're in the summer. So hopefully we're coming out of that. But we just got to trust God. I've been on no salary for 13 years trusting the Lord. And there's times where I get anxious and stressed out about the finances because they go up and down. But it's like we're just trusting the Lord. He'll never let us down. He'll always provide and he always has. And thank you guys for sowing and partnering. The links to give are on the screen. If you're going to monthly partner, do it on the website. IsaiahSaldivar.com/partner there, scan the QR code, and you'll get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, and you'll get a link to the Monday at noon prayer call. If you're a monthly partner, please show up to the Monday at noon prayer call. That helps us out a lot. Oh, and I have a book coming out in November, my first book. This is like 13 years in the making. Here it is. This comes out in November. You can pre-order it now, forward by Don Dickerman, absolute legend. How to cast out demons, everything you need to know about deliverance. It is about 250 pages. So this was like, put a lot of time and energy, sweat and tears into this. You could ask my wife. I was locked away for many hours writing this book. This is everything I've learned about deliverance, and it's in a manual. You can put this in someone's hand. It's awesome. Trust me, it's awesome. You can do that on Amazon. The links for that are in the description, and that comes out in November. So thank you guys for that. We'll talk more about that as the days come. Couple dates I have. I have 3 dates for you guys right now for this year. September 13th, 7 p.m., The Gathering Place in Birmingham, Alabama. That's on my website, IsaiahSaldivar.com/schedule. September 14th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at The Gathering Place Deliverance Training. That's going to be September 14th, same place, Birmingham, Alabama. September 15th, Dawsonville, Georgia, Christ Fellowship Church, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., September 15th in Georgia. If you're in Atlanta, this is the closest I'm going to be to you this year. So if you are in Atlanta, Georgia, you need to drive out to Dawsonville. It's not far. And come 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Get there early for seats. That's the North Georgia Revival, September 15th, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Go to IsaiahSaldivar.com/schedule, and you can find me there. And then last event of the year, as of right now, write this down, October 26th, the Now Arena in Chicago, Breakers Conference 2024. All the Demon Slayer guys are going to be there. Get your ticket on Ticketmaster. We're expecting 10,000 people to pack out this arena for mass deliverance, mass healing, mass revival, 10,000 seats. Don't miss that. Breakers Conference, that's October 26th, one day only. All right. And then tomorrow night, 6 p.m., we have the Revival Lifestyle Podcast, which with Richard Matthews. It's going to be amazing. He was in an LGBTQI, all that lifestyle, was living a gay lifestyle, and the Lord brought him out, delivered him from that. He's going to be sharing on that and how the Lord's using him in that community to bring the gospel. Tomorrow's going to be great. We're putting a lot of work into all these streams, these videos. I posted a video, we were live Monday, live Tuesday, then we posted a video Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then when my kids get back into school after the summer, which is next week, we will start doing our Thursday streams again, live three times a week. I'm putting my heart and soul into this, guys. Oh, the Breakers Conference is in Chicago. That's very important. Sorry. The Now Arena in Chicago. Chicago. Do you read all the comments? I read them while I'm live. And then after the videos, I read the ones that are posted after. But yeah, these live comments, I'm literally reading them while I'm live. I barely miss any, if that, okay? Yes, I will be at Lifesong soon, brother. Especially when they get the new building. I will be there more often and be preaching there soon. All right, we're going to go to Jared's in about 10 minutes. Over to Jared's stream, which I'll post that as well. They're going to have some young people on. It's going to be great. But as of right now, just we're hanging out. We're chatting. We're talking. We're just, hanging out with the chat here. So let me know what's going on here. I'm reading all the comments. Come back to V1. I will at some point soon. God willing. I really am, guys, for the last 5 years, poured my heart and soul into these broadcasts. Done my best to steward this platform with the influence God has given me. So I really appreciate you guys supporting, being here, sowing, giving. It keeps us going. And I pray I can just keep doing this. God willing, we'll keep doing this. Again, thank you for your support. Usually I'll read all the donations. Tonight I won't. I'll read them off stream just because I went really long. But usually I read them all on stream. I'll read them after, okay? Thank you guys for the Venmo, the Cash App, the PayPal, the Zelle, and the website. Thank you. We couldn't do this for free without you guys. So you guys sewing enables us to do this for free and reach more people and not have to like charge and stuff like that. Can God use Christian rock? Of course, yes. Yeah, and if you realize you need deliverance, go to the deliverance map. Go to the deliverance map and find somebody. What if I feel happy during the deliverance sermons? You probably don't need deliverance. There's probably no demon on board. The Georgia Conference, where and what time? It is September 15th, Dawsonville, Georgia, at Christ Fellowship Church, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. All right, Dawsonville. It's on my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/schedule. Literally everything you guys need is on the website. Oh, I need to put the Breakers Conference on my website. What is wrong with me? I can't believe I didn't add that yet. I'll do that soon. Thank you guys for pre-ordering my book. It means a lot. It gets in the algorithm and all that stuff. Buy one for your friends and family. This is going to be a great book to put in the hands of someone that doesn't believe in deliverance or needs deliverance or has never learned about it. Because I kid you not, this is everything you need to know about deliverance. It starts with all the stories of Jesus doing deliverances. It's good. Tanya, would love to have you in Georgia. That'd be awesome. That would be amazing. Thank you, Brittany. Listen, my mods, thank you guys. My mods are all amazing. I don't know if Emily Maxwell is here, but we prayed for your husband today, Emily Maxwell. All the mods, you guys are amazing. I just can't say it enough. You guys are awesome. Yeah, the Breakers Conference, October. I don't know how the place was chosen, but it's a big enough arena to fit everybody. The name of the book is How to Cast Out Demons. This is the book. How to Cast Out Demons, Everything You Need to Know About Deliverance. You can just type in Isaiah Saldivar on Amazon. And you'll see how to cast out demons. Do you like classical music? I don't really know. I don't really listen to classical, so probably. The book's going to be a game changer, and it's going to be legacy. I really believe that. Do you quote Derek Prince? Maybe once or twice. I think I quote Don Dickerman, maybe Frank Hammond. I don't have many quotes in it, but Derek Prince is awesome. I've learned a lot of stuff from him. Surprises me how much of the comments you read. Dude, as I'm preaching, I'm reading the comments. So just because I don't reply to all the comments, I'm reading what you guys are typing. If you type something in the comments, you can pretty much guarantee I'm reading it. Don Pickens. Yeah, I could talk about how demons lay dormant and exposing them. I have some of that in the book. Mike said it was the only arena and stadium that would allow a Christian event. Oh, there we go. All right. I've been missing these podcasts about driving out demons. Yeah, I'll be bringing more back. I know I have a lot from years ago, and like I'll do a live stream and then I'm like, oh, well, I already did that 3 years ago, but who's really scrolling through 3 years back watching the live? Some people are, but I'm sometimes afraid to like reuse content or reteach the same things, and I just can't be afraid of doing that because we're live. I need to do that. So yeah, I'm always like, I need to have something fresh, but review is good. So I can't be worried about reviewing stuff we went over like 3 years ago. Yeah, Life Song is an amazing church. Love that church. Amazing, amazing. As caffeine demonic? No. Caffeine is not demonic. Great job tonight. Thanks so much. What if my 14-year-old doesn't want deliverance? Why would it force it upon her? But I would just pray that the Lord would open up her heart. And likely, you're going to be the one that's going to have to do deliverance on her. I am Isaiah Saldivar. What does that mean? Isaiah's almost at 1 million. Yeah, we're almost there. We're, what, 75,000 away? It's, you know, YouTube's up and down. We have a video. It's like we posted 3 videos at 400,000 views, 600,000, 300,000. And then we post 3 more in a row. And it's like 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. Here's the thing. Yeah, I just need to be grateful. You know, now it's like if I post a video that only gets 30,000 views, I'm like, oh my gosh, it must have been a terrible video. That's such a bad mentality to have. The social media just jades your brain, and so I have to repent of that. Like, I was irritated the other day because my video only hit 30,000 views. And I'm like, Lord, help me. That's so wrong that I'm irritated about that. That's just so wrong. It's like you get so jaded on social media. I just have to be grateful, you know, for everything. The views, the finances that the Lord brings in. It's all the Lord. We're watering, but he's the one that causes the increase. So I have to just keep going. You know what? Who cares about the views? Who cares about this? Just trust the Lord. Amen. Is all secular music demonic? No, I don't think it's all demonic, but I wouldn't listen to secular music personally. I tried to lower the gain so I wasn't peeking out the whole time I'm screaming, but I will go on my phone and listen back to the stream tonight, and if it's too low, I'll put the gain back up next time. But yeah, sometimes it peaks out, so you guys might just have to turn the volume up if you're not used to how low it is. I still can't understand how a Christian can have a demon. I have a bunch of videos on it that will go in depth, but basically, it's very easy. The demons dwell in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotion, and the Holy Spirit's in your spirit. So they're not in the same place. We're triune beings. We're three parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the demons work in the soul, and then we have a body. So yeah, it's very simple. If you open the door to a demon can come in, whether the Holy Spirit's there or not. It's like, you can't just say, I'm a Christian, then do whatever you want and not expect a demon to be there. But I have videos on it because I go real deep and in depth. And I have a whole chapter in the book about how Christians can have demons. Religious people tell me I can't make Christian rock music. What should I do? You should stop listening to religious people and just do what God's telling you to do. What's your opinion on classical music? I have no opinion on it, bro. I don't listen to classical music, so I don't know. I have no opinion. First year not celebrating Halloween. Should we still give candy? I wouldn't. How do you deal with regrettable tattoos you got in the past that go against God's word? I mean, if you feel convicted to cover them up, then cover them up. But I don't think the Lord's going to judge you for getting a tattoo that you got before you were saved. So you got to use your own conviction on that. When you go to Georgia, you're going to eat at Steak and Shake? Hopefully. But I'm only going to be there for literally one day. Does everyone in the Alphabet community need deliverance? Probably most of them. Probably most, if not all. Yeah, I have a whole chapter dedicated to Christians having demons. It's very necessary. We're going to be going here as soon as Jared and Candace go live. They're getting their stuff ready. This is where we're going to be. Oops, where's my chat here? I'm just going to type this a bunch of times. We'll go here in a few minutes. All right, we'll go here in a few minutes. Seventh-day Adventist Church. Yeah, I can make a video about it. I need to look more into it. What's your opinion on listening to rock music? If it's Christian, it's fine. The one last night was awesome. Thank you so much. I'll be doing more sit-down videos like that. Listen, if you want to hear me preaching in churches and screaming and shouting, I have that. If you want to hear these teachings, I have that. If you want to hear the Q&As, I have that. If you want to hear the sit-down Bible where I just open the Bible and talk, I have that. I'm trying to just provide all the content possible. You know what I mean? Reach as many people as possible. Reach the lost at any cost, and that's what we're doing. Is it wrong to give to multiple places? No. I tell people, sow where you grow. So if I hear like a message or a teaching that I'm blessed by and I grew, if you listen to this, you're like, I grew today. right? I grew listening to this teaching. I sow into that. It's good ground. If I see a ministry that's reaching people and the lost are getting saved and people are getting healed and delivered and God's using that ministry, I sow into that. I invest. I'm investing into that ministry personally. I give to multiple ministries. But yeah, that's kind of where I feel about the giving. I sow where I grow, and I'm like, all right, I want to bless this ministry. Yeah, but let the Holy Spirit lead you, even on that. Be led by the Holy Spirit. You inspire me, but I don't idolize you. Thank you, Riddle. Thank you. You have a bunch of satanic tattoos. I mean, it is what it is. You were not a Christian when you got them, hopefully. Do you need more grace to cast out stronger demons? I would say you probably need more spiritual discipline in your life to cast out stubborn demons. Oh, I just realized that I recorded this at max quality. Wow. I just looked at the file. It's 50 gigabytes. All right. That's a fail. Oh, well. Sorry, Nico. You're going to have a big file to edit. We ever come to Kansas City? I've been before, probably. What came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. God created the chicken. It's like, what came first, the man or the baby? The man. Do you eat Chick-fil-A? Once in a while. My wife really likes it. All right, yes, we're going to be going over there to Jared's stream in a minute. Again, if you have young people, get them on Jared's stream because they're going to have some youth talking on the stream. So if you have your young people, your kids, probably didn't have them on here tonight, but get them on. Yes, Carl's here. There he is. Get them on tonight. Rocks the devil's music. I wouldn't say the devil has his own genre of music because that's not biblical to say rocks the devil's music. The closest I'll be to Sacramento is Stockton. I'll probably be preaching in Stockton soon. So that's the closest I'll be to Sacramento. Is it wrong to think animals are holy or angels? Well, animals I wouldn't say are holy, but angels definitely are. They're set apart. They're unique and different. Here's where we're going. There you go. And if you have autoplay on, it'll send you there automatically. I love you guys tonight. It's been awesome. I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow night. This guy's all over the place. Let's get people saved. Amen. We ever come to preach in Canada? I used to all the time. I don't know when I'll be back. What's with the pigeon? Oh, it's just my pet. Just my pet. Why is there a pigeon on your screen? I love how Facebook always freaks out with the pigeon. It's my pet. It's my pet, Carl. I have a whole video on how to witness and share your faith with people. A lot of the questions you guys are asking, I would search it up on YouTube because I have a lot of this on my channel. I have 2,000 videos. You can go to search on my channel and type it in, it'll come up. My kids love Carl. Yeah, the kids, the cats, the dogs, they all love Carl. Trump or Kamala? Trump. I would never, ever vote for a baby killer like Kamala Harris. I would never vote for anybody that is pro-abortion or pro the murder of babies, not including all the other satanic agendas they have.
And we are youth pastoring again, Candace. Our living room.
All right, Jared is live. Wow, Jared has tons of young people. All right, let's go over to Jared's stream. He has like a million young people in his living room. Love you guys and appreciate you guys. Go over to Jared's now. We'll see you in the next one. See you tomorrow night. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.